Good morning, Namibian. Good morning, my dear listeners. It's a Monday morning. It's a Monday morning. How was your weekend? Well, talking of the weekend, I had my weekend, especially yesterday, was one of the best weekend ever. How would I put it? Beating Arsenal it was so brilliant. Brilliant. I know someone who is really, really, really mad at this point in time. Okay, so, yeah, we managed, to beat the Gunners yesterday. So that made my weekend, and it's going to make my week as well. So how was your weekend anyway? Anything that come out particularly, inspiring, or maybe what did you do over the weekend? Maybe rested, just take a weekend off, and not doing anything at all. How was your weekend? So hopefully it was good as mine. Mine was really, really good. It was a good weekend. I traveled also to the nearby country, was in Angola, and so it wasn't bad at all. So hopefully yours was also good. Good morning and welcome to Eagle FM, and it's a Monday morning, so hopefully you're energized, you're full of vuma, and you're ready to go. You are ready to contribute to the growth and development of this country. That is you and I's responsibility, to make sure that definitely, we contribute to the well-being of our beautiful land, the land of the brave, Namibia. Welcome. Thanks for making the choice. Thanks for choosing Eagle FM at this point in time to be in your company. And, it's always our great, great pleasure to be in your company. So our time, it's about 4 minutes past the hour of eight, and this is Unpacking the Day. My name is Mike Oshoveli, and this is your daily dose of what is really going on in terms of business news, economic news, and also politics around the country and around the world. And every weekday, we cut through the noise to make sense of the big stories, the headlines, the trends, and the numbers that are making headlines. So we keep it clear, and sometimes being a little bit witty, and always, always being curious, asking the question that matter, and giving you a fresh take on what people are saying out there. So the views then shared during our segment don't necessarily reflect those of Eagle FM, but we are here to unpack what others are saying, spark the meaningful conversation so that you can be part of the bigger conversation. So this is your space to unpack the headlines and get to the heart of the stories. So welcome and good morning. So, yes, as usual, we start with our segment on this day in Africa. So good morning, Africa, and a warm welcome to On This Day in Africa. Today we are turning the pages of our shared history to see what happened on this day, on this very day, January 26. So we have a tale of resistance, another story, a story of political change, a discovery of a dazzling brilliance, and a moment of sporting glory. So let's just dive in. So we begin in the Horn of Africa, back in the year 1887. On this day, Ethiopian forces under the skilled commander Ras Alula Aginda, they won a stunning victory against the Italian army at a place called Dogali, now in what is now Eritrea. Now, this was not just a small battle. It was a powerful message. As Italy was trying to build its colonial empire in Africa, the Ethiopian victory at Dogali became a symbol of early and fierce resistance. So it was a proud day. It was a proud day, showing the world that African nations would fight to protect their sovereignty. Now, let's fast forward to the late 20th century, a period of incredible change for our continent. On January 26, 1986, the government of President Tito Okello in Uganda was overthrown. And guess who overthrown, you know, that government, the government of Tito Okello? The National Resistance Army, led by Yoweri Museveni. That seized control, making the beginning of a new chapter for the nation. So, and exactly 5 years later, in 1991, the political landscape shifted again, this time in Somalia. On this day, the long-time ruler, Mohamed Siad Barre, was also removed from power. So his ousting, however, led to the collapse of the central government, ushering in a long and difficult period of instability for the country. But it's not all conflict and politics on this day. Let's talk about something truly magnificent. Back in 1905, on January 26, a miner near Pretoria, South Africa, unearthed something that would leave the world, speechless. It was the Cullinan Diamond. Can you imagine? At the staggering 3,106 carats. So it is still the largest gem quality rough diamond. Yeah? That's still the largest gem quality rough diamond ever discovered. So this incredible piece of Africa's treasure was later presented to the British monarch and was cut into several of the famous gems that now actually sit in the British crown jewels. So they have our diamonds on their crown jewels. We must get it. So, and finally, we end on a higher note with a story that unites us all through sport. On this day in 1974, you know, the vibrant city of Dakar in Senegal was buzzing with energy as it hosts the first African Cup of Nations. Now, the tournament kicked off on January 26, making a huge milestone in the continental sport history. So it was a celebration of African talent, passion, and unity on the football pitch. And that's our look at today, January 26, in the history of our great continent. So thanks for tuning in to On This Day in Africa. So join us again tomorrow as we uncover more stories from our past. So good morning and welcome. Welcome to Eagle FM. So after this, we look at what is our thought for the day today.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Yes, you just join us. If you just join us, this is Eagle FM, and you are tuned into Unpacking the Day. And I'm your host, Mike Oshaveni. So today is the 26th of January. January is almost saying goodbye. I think this year is going to be very quick. It's going to be fast. It looks that way anyway. So, yeah, just this month, it goes so slow. It goes so slow. Maybe it's because pockets are empty. You don't even know what to do with yourself. Yeah, days goes by slowly and slowly. Well, I don't want to prolong your pain. So January becomes, you know, very long, but it was quick. At least for me, it was quick. I found it was very quick. It's getting over. Don't worry. This is the last week of the month. All right. So, what is our thought for the day today? The thought for the day is: you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make it drink. You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make it drink. Now, well, the proverb is that you can give someone an opportunity. You can give them opportunity, or can give them guidance, or you advise, but you cannot force them to take it or act on it if they don't want to. So in other words, even if the condition are, let's say for example, even if the condition are ideal or the help is offered, the choice to actually do something still lies with the individuals. Now, you can show someone, you know, the way or present something beneficial, but you can't control whether they accept or use it. Now, just as a horse must choose to drink on its own, a person must decide, you know, for themselves whether to act on advice, opportunity, or help. Now, this proverb is widely used to stress that action actually depend on individual will. So not just the situation or help provided. So hopefully in your decision and choices that you make today, you will choose to drink on your own. So you will choose to drink. All right. So you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make it drink. That's our thought for the day this morning. 13 minutes, it's past in the hour of 8, and if you're just joining us, welcome, you're on board. You are on board, and you're most welcome. So this is the platform where we together unpack what is happening around the country and around the world. And today, what do you expect? What can you expect really in this show? Now, what actually began as a proposal for Gaza, this was a proposal for Gaza that was even approved by the UN, has expanded now into a major international initiative. Now, as Trump's newly formed Board of Peace, which is aimed to promote now global stability, it also facing actually question over its cost. To join, you need actually to pay. You know, it's facing question on its structure and a potential to challenge the United Nations. We're going to come after this.
When you choose UNAM,
you get credible accreditations.
You get internationally recognized qualifications.
You get a university with a growing reputation.
When you choose UNAM,
you get a head start on local jobs.
You become connected in a growing Namibia.
You stay in the best country in the world.
Because you already know you love it here.
Open your mind to UNAM.
And UNAM will open the world to you.
UNAM is your university, Namibia.
Because the you in UNAM is you.
All right, welcome back. And we were just actually giving you the what you expect in the show. And as I said, we're going to look at that, at the proposal of the newly formed Board of Peace by President Trump. And we're going to look at that. And also, in today's edition of the Villager, there's a story about, you know, a sharp 35.7% decline in building plans completed in December 2025, and was primarily driven by reduced government infrastructure spending and delays in some municipal approval. That we're going to look into that as well, because there's some interesting aspect we can look at that. So, and if we have time, there's many, many more other stories that we can look at. So stay tuned. As you can see, as always, it's fully packed. So all what you need to do is just to unpack this with me. Stay with me, and we're going to be back in a few seconds.
Omutiha kutekirwa kaguna I Madina omjo. Chikao shafathana nana longeshifa ya ishiwike moshiwana. Iye moyao ota ingongotisa mwene. Anangeshifa ya Namibia ombijombwa na wa olonjika. Seitha nina omayakuro nirandithoma yoe yongeshifa yoe kupitira mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tuimemeha uu kakombanga nina. Kara omkwa shipareki uimwepo yomo programa detu. Moambo dengira selma kona raheta tuimwe. Datu ndatu heari hamano tano o niyaji. Eagle FM, the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
All right, all right. Good morning, Namibia. Good morning, my dear listeners. Welcome back to Unpacking the Day, where we take a close look at global stories that are shaping the world. There are global stories that are shaping the world. And today we are diving into something big. Donald Trump's, well, he is the talk of the town anywhere in the world. So Donald Trump's newly launched Board of Peace. Now let's get into this. Originally, this Board of Peace was actually proposed as part of a peace initiative for Gaza. You know, it's now, as we speak, it's now expanded into a much broader international body. Now, but what does it mean for the world? Really, what does it mean for the world? How should we see it from, let's say, from Namibian perspective? Well, that's what we're going to do. Let's then unpack that together. All right. Now, what is this Board of Peace? Now, Trump originally pitched this idea as something to manage Gaza. All right. You know, the Palestinian territory that has been devastated by conflict. Yes, it was actually originally pitched to manage Gaza. The United Nations Security Council even approved it back in November as part of a plan to stabilize Gaza. But as you will hear now, it's grown into something much larger, a body that aims now to, and I'm quoting, to promote stability, restore dependable governance, and secure enduring peace in areas affected or threatened by conflict, unquote. So it has become a broader, you know, body now, you know, looking at much broader, you know, at looking at conflict generally, looking at conflict around the world, not anymore just for Gaza. Now, Trump's idea here is not about managing specific crises, but about creating a new global organization, you know, organization that could, in theory, step in where the United Nations has failed. So that's the whole idea. So now, remember, so the whole idea is that, you know, this is a new global organization that could, and we put that could, in theory, step in where the United Nations has failed. Now, the board's mission, when we're talking the Board of Peace, now, the board mission is to take action. What the whole mission is actually to take action, not just to deliver, as they put it, strongly worded statement, because mostly United Nations only, you know, deliver this strongly worded statement, but no action. So, as Trump himself actually has criticized the UN for doing in the past, that you just pass all this resolution, but do nothing. Eh? I'm trying to speak like Trump. I'm not a good imitator. So, the question is, could the Board of Peace eventually replace the UN? That's the question. And I think that's the direction. Now, who is on the board? Who is on board now? Now, so far, over 20 countries have pledged to join the board. There's already 20 countries that pledged, we are going to join the board. So, and including some key Middle East and European nations, over 20 countries have signed on. We are talking about Argentina, Turkey, Hungary, Bulgaria, Bahrain, Kazakhstan, Kosovo, Qatar, Armenia, Azerbaijan, Morocco. Ah, African. We have one African there. Paraguay, Pakistan, Albania, Belarus, Egypt. Another African there. Indonesia, Israel, of course. Jordan, Mongolia, Saudi Arabia, the UAE, and Uzbekistan. Oh Jesus, some of this country, Uzbekistan, and Vietnam. You know, so those are the countries. So I just wanted you to see. I'm going through the country just for you to see which countries have actually pledged to join the board. Now, notice anything about the list, Namibia? Have you noticed anything about the list? There is something there, something fishy. Where are the major Western democracies? Where are the United Kingdom? Where are the French? Where are the Germans? Where are the Scandinavian countries that pride themselves on peacekeeping? They are not there. They are not there. Where are they? France said, actually, the Charter raises a serious question about the United Nations. So, and its principles. So, they're kind of questioning that, there are some questions that need to be answered first. It raises some questions about the United Nations and its principle. And the UK said they won't sign because Russia might join. Russia might join. And how can you have Putin at peace table when he's waging war in Ukraine? You know, so the UK are saying, we wait. If Russia is there and is waging war in Ukraine, that's a contradiction, you know. So how can you be at the Board of Peace when you are actually, you know, waging war somewhere? So Belgium was listed as a signatory, but they came swinging. They came out swinging and say, hey, they never signed. They never signed. And they said, we never intended to. Okay, they never signed and said we never intended to. Now imagine the embarrassment. You know, your name gets put on the list for the whole world to see, and you have to publicly correct the record. So, yeah. So there is questions, especially by the Europeans. They feel that there are questions about the United Nations, and its principles. Now, there was an issue with Canada as well. And this is where I think things get a little bit interesting. So, well, Trump and the Canadian Prime Minister, Mark Carney, had some kind of, how do you say, spat? You know, they have a kind of a spat. And Trump went on his Truth Social platform and withdraw Canada's invitation. So he called it the most prestigious board of leaders ever assembled. So that's how he called it. So when he withdrew the Canadian invitation. Now, let me ask you this, Namibia. So if it's so prestigious, if it's really, really prestigious, why aren't your closest allies, now these are the closest allies of the American, why are your closest allies refusing actually to join? And if it's about peace, why are you kicking out countries of a personal dispute? You know, Canada is kicked out because of personal dispute between Trump and Mark Kenney. So why are you doing that? So, but here's what Trump's saying and his people are saying. This is what Trump is saying and he's saying. So Trump's actually claimed that this board has the chance actually to be one of the most consequential body ever created. He say it will work alongside the United Nations, not to replace it. So, though, I have to say, earlier in the week, he suggested it might replace the UN. I listened to him, and he said it might suggest, he suggested it might replace the UN. So he retracted his word there. So, now, his Secretary of State, Marco Rubio, say the board will be about action. It will be about boom, 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 you know? Not just strong worded statement. This would be about the, you know, gun going blazing, you know? Gun going blazing, isn't it? So, and he said, by saying that, he's saying, I remember when he was talking, he's saying that this board will be about action and not just strongly worded statement. And you know who is taking a shot at? He's taking a shot at the current system, saying global leaders are good at reading script and issuing letters, but nothing actually happened. And somehow, I do agree with that. Somehow, it's a fair point. Maybe. It is a fair point. We all have seen international bodies issue condemnation while conflict rage on. In Gaza, in Somalia, in Sudan, we all have this condemnation, but nothing is being done. Somehow, there's a fair point there. So there is a point. So we're going to come back after this commercial.
Great news! Impact just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Omutiha, utekirwa kaguna, imatina, omjo. Chikao shafa sana nana, nongeshifa, ya eshiwike moshiwana. Iye moyao, ota ingongotisa mwene. Anangeshifa, ya Namibia, ombitombwa na wa oronjika. Seisa nina omayakuro ni randisoma yoe, yongeshifa yoe okupitira mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tuimemeha uka kombanga nina. Kara omkwashifareki uimopo yomo programa detu. Moambo, dengira selma, konora heta tuimu. Datundatu, heari hamano tano, oniari. Eagle FM, the eye.
All right, welcome back. So, yeah, we also anticipating the launch of the NASFAF 2026 online application, where the Minister, Honorable Sanet Steenkamp, will be giving a keynote address. So we are waiting on that event. As soon as that the Minister comes, start, talking or giving her keynote of address, we're going to cross over to Windhoek for just that event, and we will be back as soon as that. As soon as the minister actually finished talking, we will be back, and I don't think it's going to be longer. Just to give you, the information that will be directly from the horse mouth, this morning. So watch on that. Stay tuned, and we may cross to Windhoek as soon as the minister start talking on that. As soon as that event, I think the event probably have started already. So we will be just waiting for the minister to take the podium for her keynote address. As soon as she does that, we cross to Windhoek for that. Stay tuned. All right, we continue with the Board of Peace, Trump Board of Peace. As I said, Rubio, he actually take a shot on the United Nations that these are our leaders who just sit and do condemnations and do nothing at all, they do absolutely nothing. That's why the whole idea of this Board of Peace. Now, what Trump himself has also criticized the UN for empty words, and he's not wrong that the UN has struggled. Of course, the UN really have struggled. We have seen it failed even in Africa, in Rwanda. We have seen it failed in Syria. We have seen it failed in Yemen. We have seen it failed in Palestine, in Gaza. We have seen it failed in many, 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 many places. Bureaucracy, veto powers, political gridlocks. These are all real, real, real problems. These are all real, real problems. But the UN, for all its flaws, has a structure built on international consensus, all right? So it is not perfect, but it tries to give every nation a voice. I think we have to understand that context, that bigger picture. So now imagine a body where the chair cannot be removed. That's now Trump. He cannot be removed. Where money talks, and where major democracies are sitting on the sidelines, as we can see now, and where Russia and China have been invited but haven't confirmed. So that's also something that we need. So imagine a body like that. What does that look like to you? Does it look like a more effective peacekeeping force? Or does it look like a parallel power structure that maybe want to bypass the check and balances of the existing systems? I think that's it, want to bypass those check and balances of the current system, of the existing UN system. And there's something worries me here. And it should worry you too. Now, something worries me about this. This board claim it will bring peace to conflict zones. Okay? It's a noble idea. It's a noble idea because sometimes, sometimes you have really issues that are going on and the United Nations is just, it's just talking about just condemnations. But who decide now when, as I said, this is a noble idea, but now who decide which conflict matters? Would it be Trump? Would Trump now would decide, okay, this is the conflict that matters, we go in there. Who decide the terms of peace? If there is a conflict going on, who decided who is wrong and who is right? So let's say, for example, you have M23 and the whatever, the government of Kinshasa, and who decided now, okay, this is wrong, we come for you? Who hold the board? Now, the other very big question is, who hold the board accountable? If it fails, let's say, for example, something goes wrong. If it fails, so who will hold them accountable? Or Or worse, if it favors a certain country over the others. Eh? So that's as I said, this is something that, as I said, the United Nations has its base of consensus. And also, let's also bring this home to Namibia and Africa, okay? Now, look at the list again, okay? Look at the list again. Egypt is there, Morocco is there, but where is South Africa? Where is Nigeria? Where is Kenya? I'm talking about the African giants, you know, the bigger countries in Africa. So where are the African voices in a body that claim to promote global peace? They are not there. We are the one who have most. Well, could be we are the one that has conflict. Africa has conflict. For example, we have most conflict. Africa has peacekeeping experience. We also have peacekeeping experience of our own. The African Union has developed a mission across the continent. But we barely represented now in Trump's vision of global peace. We are not in there. So now you will have a body actually that decided on Africa, on a conflict in Africa when we are not even represented. Those are my issues with this body. So what does that tell you actually? What does that honestly tell you? Now, it tells you that, as I said, we will be just, you know, they decide. Where is the conflict? We going in. And mostly they go where their interests are. You know, if there are oil and gas, okay, we need a piece of that. We are going in there if there's something going on. We're going to protect our interests. That's basically what it's going to be. It's actually America and the big guns, whoever they are, protecting their own interests. Over the globe, all over the globe. Now, and then there is money, okay? The initial, and this is another issue. So the initial report suggests that to get a permanent seat on this board, a country would have to contribute more than $1 billion, more than $1 billion. Well, and then the White House quickly clarified, saying, no, this is not a fee. It is not a fee. They call it a way of a country showing some kind of a deep commitment to peace. You know, this is just a way to show that you really have a deep commitment to peace, to get a permanent membership. Eh? So, and... yeah, let's also look at that. Let's unpack that. What does it really mean then? Does it mean that countries with deeper pocket get a bigger say in the global peace? It depends on your pocket. Does it mean that a wealthy nation can buy a permanent seat at the table, while the poorer nation, maybe like ours, who often suffer the most, the countries that suffer most from conflict are left with temporary membership? You know, you're not on a permanent, you're only on temporary membership. Now, and this has raised a really fundamental question. Is peace something to be bought? Do we have to buy peace or sold? Is it something that need to be bought or something that need to be sold? Now, so Trump Board of Peace, it's really ambitious. When you look at it, it's ambitious. But could we be looking at a body where only the wealthy and powerful nation truly have a say? It looks that way from how it's presented now. If this board does get off the ground, does it help smaller nations like Namibia? Or does it just concentrate concentrate power in the hands of the few, the powerful one? Well, that's how it looks like. If we look at Namibia, for example, okay, let's get into our history, okay? just to illustrate that, you know, our history is a testament to international diplomacy. The United Nations was central to our path to independence. The UN Security Council Resolution 435. It wasn't just empty words, as now trying to put it. It was not just empty word. It was the foundation of our freedom. Now, the UN supervised the elections that brought this nation into being. We know the value of the global body, where even a smaller nation can have its voice heard on this world, on the world stage. Now, so my first question for you is this. Would a new exclusive board, like now the one is proposing, would a new exclusive board have fought for Namibia's independence with same vigor? If maybe this nation have no interest in Namibia? Or would our fate have depended on whether we could afford a seat on the table? Maybe it could have depended if we could have money, you know? So that's the challenge about this, you know, this Trump's body. Look, I'm not saying Trump's intentions are bad. Could be. Maybe he's generally want to solve conflict that have dragged on for decades, maybe. Maybe he's frustrated with the UN bureaucracy. That's fair enough. That's fair enough. But my point is that the UN, with all its flaws, is a universal body. Every country have a voice in there. It's built on the principle of materialism. So it's built on the principle of materialism, that we are stronger and safer when we work together. It's built on that principle. And this new board feels different. It feels different. It feels like a smaller, exclusive club led by one man, where members might depend on how much you can pay. So, yeah. And it's going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting to see how countries like Russia and China respond. So we know how tricky their relationship with the West can be. And the idea of a new global organization might either be a breakthrough or a flashpoint for further division among the nations. So what do you think? So let's get to the big questions, the ones I want you now to think about and call us about. So when you come through. So now, I want you to think, is the world broken? Do you think the world is broken? Do we need a new, more action-oriented, you know, kind of kicking ass kind of body for peace? Shouldn't I say S on the air? Do we need a new body, action-oriented body for peace? As the Trump team suggested, do we need that body? Maybe we do need that body. Or should we? Maybe the other way is actually, should we focus our energy on reforming the United Nations? We already have. Reforming what we have, making it more effective and accountable. Maybe that's what we need. Let's reform what we have. Should we looking at, my question is, do we need a more action-oriented that really, really have to respond to conflict in the world, body for peace, or do we need now to reform our current United Nations, you know, to be more effective and accountable? So, and the other things that I want us maybe to discuss, is it a good idea for one person to have so much control over global peace initiative, because he's the chair. What he say goes. Or does that concentration of power risk turning a mission of peace into a personal project? Eh? So, what do you think? And here is the one for all of us, okay? For all of us Namibian. If you were advising our Namibian government, would you tell them to join this board? Would you tell, because there are already countries that have joined, would you tell them to join this board? Eh? What condition? Now, if you tell them to join this board, what condition would you set? What question would you demand answer to? Kind of like, these are the questions I demand answer to before we get into this board. So, the phone line is open. What do you think about this board of peace? So, the phone line is open. Is it a beacon of peace, a beacon of hope, as they said, or a warning sign for the world? Give us a call. And let's get your thoughts. 08333-66091. 08333-66091. So please do come through and have your say, your thought, your contribution. What do you think about the Board of Peace? So, all right. Someone actually, have this to say through the WhatsApp. He said, I shouldn't laugh at this. He said, well, I love the kicking ass word and claim and claim must chill. So, okay. And also, just say hi, Mike. All right. So, please do come through. 08333-66091. And let me know, what do you think about this board, Trump Board of Peace? 08333-66091.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the R.
Omutiha, we take it wakaguna, I matina omjo. Chika wa shafa sana nana, longe shifa, ya ishiwike moshiwana. Iye moyao, ota ingongoti samwene. Anageshefa ya Namibia, ompitombwa na wa oronjika. Seitha nina omayaguro ni randisoma yoe, yongeshefa yoe okupitiramo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tuimemeha uu kakombanga nina. Kara omkwashifareki uimwepo yomo programa letu. Moambo, dengera selma, konorahe tatuimwe. Datundatu, heari hamano tano, oniyari. Eagle FM, the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the I.
All right, welcome back. We seem to have a problem, a network problems to, not from our side, okay? It's not from our side. It's actually a problem with the ministry itself, not from our side, okay? As soon as they sort out that problem, we will bring you the minister's keynote address on NASFAF application, online applications. All right, 2026 online applications. All right. Some comment. That's from our Facebook on the topic that we're looking at, and we have Gola Mekonjo Kaulinge. He's saying the question remains: who causes global instability, and who are the members of the new initiations? Yeah. So we mentioned some of those members. And we have also Jarino Lowcount. Jarino Lowcount, he said, America is primarily advancing its own power interests while gradually dismantling the long-standing global establishment. The UN has clearly demonstrated weakness, and Trump is simply capitalizing on that space. And also we have Beatty A. Beatty Tech Solution. If you want facts, you must directly call and interview State House or at least UN. Otherwise, we will be wasting our time with countless, go get facts rather than mere thoughts. I don't know what does he mean. Very good morning. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Yes, morning, what?
Good morning. I can hear you. Okay, now I can hear you.
Oh, okay.
Morning. Yeah.
Yeah. The UN benefit.
The UN?
The UN beneficial or how?
No, no, this, I think this is something that actually, you know, gonna, in some way, on the way to replace the UN.
Yeah, but UN and NATO, they are totally different thing. Because NATO, there is economy benefits, and there is also protection of assets, and all of that. So yeah. UN is a totally different body, which is just to look at what is really, who is causing the trouble there, and all of that. But when it comes to NATO, it's totally different. That's why they have to look at for their own safety and the protection of the nation and all of that.
Yeah.
So that's why the voice of Trump, when it comes to some of those bypassing the international law, like the one that is guiding by the UN, is because of their interest of the Americans and the theft of the Americans, like the way they wanted now to get Greenland.
Yeah,
it's because of the safety that they want to protecting all the borders or the corner of the borders. That they remember when they got in that Greenland. They can protect any rocket that they are coming from Russia or from China, and they know that they have a lot of enemies now in the world. So those are the things that sometimes to look at in the angle where they are arguing is that no more ally that they are on the side of United States. And the United States is pumping a lot of money into protecting this ally, which some of them they ignore the problems that are causing by the world. Yeah, so those are the things where, and when it comes to UN, who is make decision? No, this one they are in mood. You are a volunteer. You come forward when you want to be a part of the UN peacekeeper.
Yeah.
So they don't do a request. Who is going to?
You mean this Trump Board of Peace?
No, Trump Board of Peace is totally because it was on the G what is it G7 meeting, the Davos one.
Yeah.
No. Those one they have a different because they are now rehabilitated where it was damaged by the war, like in the look of that how they went into investing in Palestine. And I mean in Gaza, where they have been to including some of those countries which is can be a part of the project. It's not really matching how the Palestinians are going to benefit because remember this is a modern world, you need money back.
Yeah.
So those countries that are investing to building Gaza, so we don't know. But they say that the job will be created. Maybe thousands of jobs, but the question is where are they going to to do their to protect themselves from Hamas now. So those are the so those are the things that they said. They might end up, this project might end up not starting because of, they have to discuss more with Hamas. And yeah, but as I said, NATO now, the ally of Americans now, is that if the Americans starting putting up money there, they might end up controlling the whole area.
Hmm.
It might end up not no more controlled by the Palestinians or by the Hamas or by the problem of now Israel. It might end up being a problem.
But do you understand the idea that this board of peace, it, as you said, initially was actually pitched for Gaza, but now Trump wants that to be something that that actually applied to every conflict in the world.
You know? Yes, yes. Remember when they, I don't know where we were discussing about that. Remember when they those bad teams and rebel or terrorists are causing problems like what happened to Syria.
Yeah.
Yeah, or what is there in Sudan and Libya.
Mm. And what happened actually in Nigeria, you know?
Yeah.
A typical example.
Yeah. No, I'm talking about the countries that were damaged.
Oh, yeah.
War.
Oh.
So they just left like that. They don't look at what is the cause of the damage and to rebuilding that country.
Yeah.
They don't do that. But here now they want into taking up opportunity because remember the son-in-law of Trump is the one is the head of that project of Palestine of Gaza, which means this is an investment we are talking about.
Yeah.
So which means you damaging country which you want into turning on your own plan.
He said he want to turn it in a Riviera of what? Of the Middle East.
Yes, it's what I'm saying now that they were supported Israel to damaging this Gaza so that they get making money out of it, which is a problem now to other countries that they left without even putting up money, like Iraq.
Mm.
So those are the things, as I'm saying. Yeah, the ally now, like if you look at what the Pakistan come forward, yeah, and Pakistan is always damaging India and all of that, but they want into funding here. It's a totally different thing. Yeah, it means the rebel now. Like if you look at even Somalia, they were there in Somalia.
Mm.
But what had the American done to Somalia? If you go to Mogadishu today, you're finding it that those old breeding they are just lying there.
So,
nobody's even planning.
What do you think about this? Sometimes, you know, when you know, you have this powerful country in the world, like America and the Russias and the Chinas, and what do you think? Because they are the whole idea, and I'm just kind of throwing a spun in the world. What do you think that you have? Maybe let's say, for example, small countries being, let's say, for example, being devastated conflict-wise by another country wrongly, but there's nothing being done. A number of people are being, United Nations, it's keeping just condemning and nothing is done. Don't you think in some way it will be, the problem would be then it will be on the choice of individual country that are powerful rather than on a principle. So don't you think it's something need to be done by the UN as a principle?
Yes, as I said, this body, they are totally different because of the NATO protecting of their asset and protecting of their interests.
Yeah.
The UN is to monitor what is really going on in the world, who is causing the problem in the world, because they were wanted to control those superpower countries. Like Germany at the time, because the First World War is the one who started, then the second. And now, the war that is coming, we are talking about a terror war now, which is caused by the rebel.
Mm.
So now, the issue of saying let me say, Ethiopia is fighting with the northern, what is that region? Yeah, it looks like it's an internal problem.
Yeah.
They don't see it as an international thing. And that is what happened to Rwanda when the Hutu and Tutsis were killing each other.
Mm.
So they don't really, nobody is going to UN and addressing the UN that we have a face, we have a problem of this. And that is what in the problem, that is what African or that is what in the people out there are expecting the UN to be. While the UN have no file in their table to say, oh, this is what we need to involve. Those are the problems that we cannot say. And remember, if I wanted to come to Namibia, when our founding president went into UN, to addressing the UN, they were there to say, we are not governing by our Namibians. We are governing by some badins, which is coming to our country, which is South Africa. And then the UN Security Council went in to do an investigation where they found out that South Africa, yes, you are there. So you need to move out and giving the people the right to rule themselves. So it's where now, when the 435 was granted, so it's South Africa said, I'm the one who's going to monitor the election. And then Nyoma said, no, I will not do that. I will not allow that because we know you are tricked. So that's why it has taken again 10 years.
Yeah,
because of that. That is what I'm saying. When you UN have a file in the table, it's where they are involved. But if they don't have a file in the table, which is Morocco and the Sahara are doing there, there is nothing UN can do.
Yeah,
and that is if the Americans were having interest, yes, you can see that the Americans are sending soldiers on the ground. But if there is no invest to protect, they will not go there. And the UN, they will not go because nobody invited them.
Mm.
They are just addressing issues that, no, this is what's happening to the world. We look at Myanmar problem, that is Muslim killing Christian, but why we are not there? To protect the people.
Mm.
It's because there is no file that are opening by. And this is what is happening also. When you look at South Africa open up a file with Israel over Gaza. So those are the things that is needed. Sometimes
wouldn't be a body then that Trump proposed be able to respond to this kind of situation?
Yeah, but they will protect you where they saw that they were involved.
Yeah.
To rebuilding the country. And that is what even Guterres is always saying. You are leaving damage in those countries, traumatizing. Mm. You don't come and do anything to these people.
Yeah. Mm.
Yeah, those are the problems. Most of this war that is American involved, yes, they didn't do anything to rehabilitating those countries. They didn't do anything to mental health from those people.
Yeah.
So those are the problems that Gaza now got lucky because they wanted to invest in money there. Because of the money that is closer to Israel. Israel is the richest country that is doing good when it comes to money, economic transaction. Yeah, those are the things I'm saying. They destroying Gaza because they wanted to be a part of an investment. And right. They want to control the Palestinians. Yeah, thank you.
Let's see what others have to say. Okay?
Yes.
Thanks for coming through.
Yes, sir.
0833-66091. 0833-66091. Okay, we're talking about the UN versus Trump Board of Peace. Now, let's compare that. Let me see how I compare this, okay? I'm going to compare these structural comparisons, you know, side-by-side analysis of organization structure, maybe looking at membership, looking at also funding, and decision-making process. Let's see. So we put the UN versus Trump Board of Peace, okay? Let's look at structural comparisons. Now, in terms of membership, the United Nations, it's about 193. 193 member states with equal, all of those members in a General Assembly have equal voting rights in the General Assembly. That's a universal representation. So now, membership in this Board of Peace, so far we have 20 countries with permanent seat reserved for, you know, for you, for your permanent seat, for to have a, your permanent seat reserved, is actually had to pay about 1 billion, you know, donors. So you're kind of donating. It's not like you're paying, you're kind of donating. So what does it tell you? Kind of the other one is a universal representation. This one is more exclusive and I would say transactional as well. It's a representative. The other one is universal. UN is a universal representation, and this one is exclusive and I think transactional as well. So when it's come to funding, normally with the UN, you know, the contribution is actually assessed. It's assessed based on a national GDP. And the capacity to pay. So normally it's assessed based on your GDP, on your national GDP. And this one, the funding is that 1 billion buy you a permanent membership. You know, the overall funding structure and allocation remain also unclear for the Trump Board of Peace. So you can see the difference there in terms of funding as well. So when in the UN you have the largest contributor, of course, is the United States, 22%, I think, compared to others, and China, 15%, and the rest, 55%, and Japan, 8%. So, yeah, and when it's come to leadership, okay, and this is where now, you know, where there is, when it's come to leadership, the UN have a general secretary. General secretary is elected by the General Assembly upon recommendation of Security Council for how long it takes. How long it's? It's 5 years, okay? 5 years renewable terms. So, and it can be replaced through established procedures. So it's not that he cannot be replaced. He can be replaced because there are established procedures to replace the general secretary, secretary general. So, but when it comes now to the Trump Board of Peace, you know, Trump is the chair, he's the chairperson of the board, he's the chair of the board. He's unremovable, removable only, you cannot be removed, only, he can only be removed, removable only by unanimous vote of all members. Or voluntary resignation. You can either resign or actually removed by anonymous vote of all members, you know? So it looks like, you know, it's effectively a lifetime appointment, you know, for the Trump Board of Peace. Kind of like, this is my organization. It sounds like an organization that will stay, and he would be the lifetime appointment. Okay, so when it comes to decision making, you know, when you compare, so the Secretary Council, we talk about the five permanent members, the P5 with veto power, and you have the other plus the 10 non-permanent members elected for 2 years terms. So their resolution actually requires a 9 vote and no veto, all right? So there is a principle, okay, of voting. With Trump, decision-making with this Trump Board of Peace, you know, Trump as a chairperson, you know, hold ultimate authority. He holds the ultimate authority, decision-making process, centralized, and they are not clear as well. So, yeah. And it's likely actually driven by the, you know, by the chairperson, by the chairman, who is now Trump, discretion. If he decided, okay, we go in. So, or the donor influence. So those who have actually, you know, donate would influence the decision, rather than actually, you know, a general vote based on a principle. So, yeah, the UN operate on principle of materialism, sovereign equality, if you look at that, and also established rule. You know, there are established rules, but Trump's Board of Peace appear to be, how would I call it, transactional, you know, donor-driven entity, and with centralized and less accountable leadership. So, yeah, just from looking at what we look at so far. So, yes, what is your opinion? What do you take? What are your take? 08-333-66-091. You can also comment on Facebook. So if you want to, 08-333-66-091.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Omutiha kutekirwa kaguna I matina omjo. Chikao shafa sana na nongeshifa ya ishiwike moshiwana. Iye moya wo, ota ingongo tisa mwene. Anangeshifa ya Namibia, ombito ombwa na wa oronjika. Seitha nina omayakuro nirandi toma yoe, yongeshifa yoe kupitira mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tu imemeha uka kombanga nina. Kara omkwashi pareki wimwepo yo mo programa detu. Moambo dengera selma kodarahita tuimu. Datundatu heari hamano tano o niari. Eagle FM, the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
All right, welcome back. Our time is about 15 minutes, quarter past 9, 15 minutes past the hour of 9. And welcome to Eagle FM. Welcome to Unpacking the Day. And we were just looking at the Board of Peace by Trump. So if you still want to have your comment and your reaction to that, you're most welcome to come through. Our telephone number again, 08-333-66-091. We also still waiting to, if that comes right with the what we have promised you earlier on, I needed feedback also. All right. So we will see how does that goes. So please do come through. Our telephone number is 08-333-66-091. 08-333-66-091. So yeah, let's move to another topic. I think. All right. So let's get to our second item. You're most welcome to actually come through and just have your reaction to our first item as well. So, yeah, in one of the headline in today's edition of the Villager is It's about building plants completed in Namibia have taken a massive, massive fall. We're talking about a sharp 35.7 decline. That's more than a third, really. So it's a story in today's edition of the Villager. Make sure that you subscribe to get yours free. Yamekwanyama free. All right. So to get yourself free, all what you need to do is just send a WhatsApp message to this telephone number with your name. I mean with your email email and your name to 08-241-44. So and then you will be able to receive your daily edition of the Villager on every Monday, Wednesday and Friday. Make sure that you subscribe. So yeah, so this is the story that we're following. This is the story that we are unpacking. Make sure that you go there and read it. So, and many more other stories. I think if you are following the Early Morning Scoop, it has gone through some of those stories that can be found in today's edition of the Villager. So let's look at this one and let's go deeper a little bit into this one. So, yeah. And when you hear a number, sometimes when you hear a number like that, and that's why I love numbers, because many people don't think numbers tell the stories. So it's because, you know, when you hear a number like that, you don't really pay attention. You easily switch off. So you have 35.7% decline. How do you quantify that? So we don't learn to quantify this percentage. But today we're going to unpack what it really means for the person looking for a job. Because it tells a story. That number tells a story. So what is going on? So according to the latest report from the Bank of Namibia, this drop happened towards the end of last year. Now, it's hitting our main economic cities. So, and it's hitting our main economic cities the hardest. Now, we're talking about Windhoek, Swakopmund, and Wavish Bay. Shakati is not in. You're not the main economic cities. So, don't bother me, all right? So those are the main, you know, it's hitting most of these main economic cities. We're talking about Windhoek, Swakopmund, Wavish Bay. So now, but here's the twist in the story. So there's a twist in the story. The huge decline is not in homes, all right? And this is one thing you have to understand. And that's why I said sometimes you have to read between the lines. So the huge decline is not in the homes. No, it is in a new industrial properties. It is in a new industrial properties. So now you have to think in terms of factories, in terms of warehouse, in terms of big business space. You know, the places that create job in bulk. That's what you have to think. This is what the decline actually is in those industrial properties. So at the same time, ironically, at the same time, the report also say approval for new residential buildings, our homes now, you know, building our homes, actually jumped up by over 34% in those same cities. So the residence, the industrial properties goes down, and the residential building goes up in those same, you know, cities, Windhoek, Swakopmund, and Wavish Bay. Now, let's. This is where we need now to stop and think. Okay, what does this tell us? What does this? I wish I was in the front of a class and now I'm asking, what does this mean? When you hear the residential building is going up, houses are building our houses, people are more building houses, and the industrial property is actually going, it's declining. What does that mean? What does it tell us? What does it tell us? Yeah. It seems like the everyday Namibian are still trying to build their homes. But the business are hitting the brakes. You see, the everyday Namibians are still actually getting loans and build their homes, but the business actually are hitting the brakes. So why there is a split? That's a $1 million question. Why is that split? I think that is the $1 million. But the report points out two main culprits. Okay? The report pointed out two main culprits. First, the government is spending less on public projects. Less money for renovating government building, less money for new infrastructure. So the government is not spending money on public project, on bigger public project. Now, when the government tighten its belt, the construction industry feels the squeeze immediately. It feels the pressure. So, and that's what happened. Now, second is this is something many of you have probably experienced yourself. There are major delays at our municipalities. So one is that the government is actually not spending, money. It's spending less on a bigger project, on a bigger public project. The other thing is that, there are major delays at our municipalities. Getting a building plan approved is becoming a long, frustrating waiting game. So those contributors, one industry expert, okay, read the story and you would know who is the industry expert, pointed out a few key problems at the local level. So he said many municipalities have backlog of unserviced plots. There's a backlog. For many of them, have a backlog of unserviced plots. You know the story. You have a piece of land, but there's no water, no electricity, no sewerage connection. How can you build a factory or a house on that? It's impossible. So there's so much backlog of unserviced plot, and that's one of the problems as well. So the as much as the government spending less on the big public project, there are also no serviced land. There's no also serviced plot where the business people or where you can build a factory, where you can build maybe warehouse, where you can build all these facilities that can that can take up a bulk of employment. So that's some of the issue. And he also mentioned that the whole approval process is slow. Plan gets submitted and they just sit there. They just sit there. People are waiting months, sometimes pushing their plan to be finalized at the last minute at the end of the year. And which also create more chaos. So plan are just sit there, and that also become a problem. Well, and also in the article, also looking at, let's not forget the season as well, the festive season. The last few months of the year are also often a slowdown anyway. So, and because people are focusing more on family and holidays, not on construction projects, I think that contributes as well. So, but a 35% drop is a way bigger than just a holiday break. It's a way bigger. So, Now, so when who is really hurting now? When who is hurting? So when because of this situation, of course, it's not just the big construction companies. Well, the ex painted a clear picture. He painted the clear picture that when a new industrial building goes up, it's not just one project. So that's not just one project. It's work for people making the bricks. So people are making, they get something out of it. It's a job for the truck driver delivering, you know, sand and cement, you know, and it's a paycheck for plumbers, electrician, the painters. So when this project stop, what happened? All those jobs they're at risk. Eh? They're at risk. So it's not just looking at that, okay, maybe it's only big company, construction company that will be affected by that, because other small companies would be affected. Other entrepreneurs would be affected. The drivers, the truck drivers, driving cement or sand, you know, the plumbers, the electricians, the painters, you know. That's why we find ourselves. Unemployment goes up and up and up and up. These are some of the things. These are some of the aspects. And he made a powerful point. The expert made a powerful point. He said schools, hospitals, shops, and roads, well, these don't just appear. You know, they are built as our population now grow. Okay? And this is a very important point to understand. Because as our population grow, and this is the problem in our cities, like Wavish Bay, Swakopmund, and Windhoek, and probably to the larger extent, smaller towns as well, when we talk about Shakati, Rundu, you know, maybe Ochvarongo, Tsumeb as well, you know. As the population grows, we need more everything. And if the construction is there is no money in construction, there is money, less money spent in construction, then this is a problem. Then we won't have enough school, we won't have enough hospitals, we won't have shops, we won't have roads. So as the population grows, we need more of everything. More places to live, more places to work, more places to shop. A decline in building isn't just a statistic. It's not just a statistic on paper. And we're going to come back after this.
Imbaya rire ombwa nai epetraweza kwa ombu nikiro ombe ombi hukusha. Onjiviro yoye irire ombupu ohatane na wina ikare no masa kumurungu wa indu. Weriro ngere kusha umune ondengu okuura kwa imba. Una ovyune vya peke kwa ugondola mirongo vitatu na hambu umwe mumwetho. Pwika ovinki nukukara norupa mondando ya peke yukianja oshimariva. Olo peresente dano kumyeze vitatu moshimariva. Olo peresente umurongo kumyeze hambu umwe moshimariva. Olo peresente umirongo ivari na dano. Kumyeze umurongo na vivari moshimariva. Itororera ondengu chima yu ungura na wakove na wina onyanukite. Ashiesho imba kekupe oshimariva shishihina omarithiro. Imba o maoronga neno uye buha kainina itako na wina rishangita jinon.
All right, welcome back. So we're looking at the decline of construction spending from the public, from the government, that has contributed to, you know, probably lack of employment. And also when we're looking at also other factors, especially when we're talking about migration from rural area to most of this town, you know, we have a population growing, but if there's a less spend in constructions, so it's quite obvious that we need more facilities, we need more schools. That's why we have so many schools that are overcrowded. Why it's overcrowded? There are no schools that have been built. No hospitals, you know, are overcrowded. So you come at 8 and you are served at 6 o'clock in the evening. Shops, roads. So we need more of this. So more place to live, more place to shop, more place to work, you know, all that. And as I said, the decline in building. So sometimes when I said, when we're looking at 35% decline, 35.7% decline, we think it's just statistic on the page. No, it's a slowdown in the growth of our nation. It's a slowdown in the growth of our, definitely of our nation. And this brings me now to the big question for you, our listeners. First, where does the blame lies? Or should be their blames anyway. But where does the blame lies? Is this mainly because the government is cutting back on spending to save money? Or is it because our municipalities are failing? Our municipalities are failing to provide basic services and process paperwork efficiently. Is it that the case? Maybe it's both. And who need to step up? Who need to step up and fix this first? Government or municipalities? Because this is a problem. That's why we have the youth on the street. That's why we have unemployment nothing get better. And here's another one for you. We see an increase in people waiting, people wanting to build homes. You know, there's a boom in people wanting to build homes. But a collapse in business, wanting now to build like factories and maybe warehouses or whatever the case may be. So what does this say about our economy? What does it say about our economy? Are we becoming a nation of homeowners but not a nation of job creators? Is this sustainable? Just think. I just want you to think about that. And maybe finally think about the solution proposed in a more the solution proposed is more about collaboration. You know, the government, the banks, the construction company need to work together. Now, that sounds nice, but how do we make that happen? How do we make that happen? Should the government now force the bank to offer lower interest rates or on business loans? I'm not sure. How do we make that happen? Should the municipality be held accountable for their delays? What is the single most important thing that need to change to get our builder building again? Well, give us a call. Give us a call. Let us know what you think. Maybe you have been personally affected by these delays by municipalities, or are you in the construction industry and feeling the pinch? Well, you could be in the construction and you're feeling this. So your stories and your opinions are what makes this show. So come through. Our telephone number is 08-0833-66091. 08-0833-66091. All right? As I said, your story and your opinion is what makes this show. 08-0833-66091.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the Eye.
no matter where you are. If you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Yes, that's right. This is your number one top talk radio's number one talk radio station in the land. And welcome. We're quickly looking at the massive 35.7 drop. It's a 35.7% drop in completed building plans, mostly for the new business and factories. So that should be a concern for all of us. And this is driven by two things. So the government is spending less on a big project, and also a major bottlenecks and delays at our local municipalities, especially with unserviced land. That's the main issue. All right. Surprisingly, home building is strong, so creating a strange divide in our construction sector. So, I think so. The slowdown directly threatens jobs, and the long term growth of our towns and economy. So something that we should be looking at it, more closely, more with eyes open. That's why we bring it up here. It's just why we bring it to your attention, to look where we are going. So the bigger takeaway is that this is not just about construction, really. It's about government policy. One of the first is about government policy, local government efficiency. So as we can see, and the confidence of business to invest in Namibia's future. Do we have actually, even Namibian, business confidence in investing in Namibia's future? So 0833-66091. So it's the number you can come through. I see some trying to, to call, and then, the question now is, what are we going to do about it? So what are we going to do about it? So do come through, 0833-66091. And what is your reaction to that? So, and while I'm waiting for you, we'll have a commercial. When we come back, we're also going to look at the DBN warned of declining diamond revenues as a major risk to Namibian economy. So, but you're most welcome to come through and have your reaction to our second stories. 0833-66091.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Omutiha kutekirwa kaguna ii matina omjo. Chikao shafaa sana nana nonge shifaa ya eshiwike moshiwana. Iye moyao ota ingongotisa mwene. Anange shifaa ya Namibia ombito ombwa na wa oronjika. Seisa nina omayaguro nirandito mwa yoe yonge shifaa yoe okupitira mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tuimemeha uu kakombanga nina. Kara omukwashi pareki uimwepo yomo programa detu. Moambo dengera selma konora heta tuimu. Datundatu heari hamano tano o niyaji. Eagle FM, the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
All right, good morning, and if you're just joining us, welcome back. Welcome back to Unpacking the Day. So, all right, okay, so group of people actually waving at me, so they're getting me a little bit distracted. All right, so welcome, and yeah, so you're most welcome to actually react to our second story. The telephone number again, 083-360-91. So let's get into another interesting one. So it's about the Developing Bank of Namibia has from last week has just dropped their annual report, and they are painting a picture that both hopeful. The picture that they are painting is both hopeful and worrying at the same time. So they are saying our economy will grow by about 3.8% this year, and that sounds good, isn't it? That sounds good. Growth is growth. It doesn't matter how big it is, even if with one point. So it's still growth. So, but they're also waving a red flag all over the place. Okay. So the main message, we are working on a tightrope. Okay, we are working on a tightrope, and there are strong winds blowing from every direction. Imagine you're walking on the tightrope, and there's a strong wind, blowing from every direction. So you're bound to fall. You're bound to fall. So now let's start with the diamond. Okay, let's start with the diamond. For decades, diamond have been one of our golden geese. You know, when you call the golden geese. But now that golden geese or that goose is looking a bit sick. So the goose is it's looking a little bit sick. You know, the DBN is warning that diamond revenues are dropping, and it has been dropping for a while now. There are two big reasons why this is happening. First of all, the global diamond prices are falling. The world isn't buying as much as it used to. So the world is not buying diamond as it used to. And secondly, and this is fascinating, I mean, we know this, is the lab-grown diamond, that are eating into the market. So that becomes, those are the issues. So, and think about it. So the whole issue, why would you, you would love, we from here, from Namibia, we would love to have the original diamonds, but some people are thinking, why would someone pay top dollar for a mined diamond when they can actually get a lab diamond, a lab grown diamond that looks identical for half the price? It look identical, but not the same. That's the point. It may look identical, but it's not the same. Original diamond is it's original. So, but well, who are we to argue about that? So we just have to come up with a different strategy to get our diamond, the original diamond, more on the market. So it doesn't help actually for us to cry and sit here and say, oh, but our diamonds are original. Why would you buying fake? You know, so we need to come up with the strategy. And here's the question. Now, here's my question for you, okay? If diamond can't carry us anymore, what is our plan B? What is our plan B? We have relied on this industry for generations. We have really relied on this industry for generations. Are we diversifying? Oh, that's the word again today. I didn't mention it today. So are we diversifying fast enough? I'm becoming like politicians. They will never mess up on that word. Okay? So I have to find a way to bring it in. Are we? And this is okay. It's not just to bring it, but it's really looking at if diamond really can't carry us anymore, what is our plan B? Are we diversifying enough? Or are we still actually putting all our eggs in one sparkling basket? That's the question. So now there's another issue. There is more. Our government is also facing a revenue crunch from SACU, the Southern African Customs Union. We also facing a revenue crunch there. So these are the funds we get from our pool, from the pooled customs and excise revenues in the region. So, and those payments, they are going down too. They are going down too. Now, you combine now shrinking SACU money with falling diamond revenues, and suddenly the government has less cash to work with. Seriously. And the DBN is warning this could force serious spending cuts. So what the DBN is actually is warning that this could force serious spending cuts. So, but the issue then, so let me ask you this. Where do those cuts come from? Where would you cut? Do we cut healthcare? Do we cut education? Do we cut infrastructure? We were talking about construction. You can already see that has been there. There is a cut there. It's less spending in construction. And that, what does that do? It's affecting employment. Do you see how these things work, how these things connected? Where do you cut? Social grant? Social grant. You look, there was a promise actually to increase the social grant because now we have to attend to the students. We have to attend to education. So the social grant actually has to be, you know, on hold. You see that? Because every line item in the budget is somebody's livelihood, is somebody's future. It's somebody's livelihood. Wherever you cut, my friend, on a budget line, on a line item in the budget, it's somebody's livelihood. And here's a big concern or a big problem. This is all happening while our debt, already a concern. This is already a concern. Less money is coming in, but we still owe what we owe, you know? And that's a squeeze, my friend. Really, that's the tightrope I talked about earlier, that the DBN warning us that we are actually walking on a tightrope. And there is blowing, strong blowing winds coming from all directions. So that is a squeeze. Yeah? And that's not all. let's zoom out. Let's get out of Namibia now, okay? Namibia doesn't we don't exist in a bubble. It's not like we only in the bubble, nothing actually touches us. No. What happened in Washington, what happened in Beijing, what happened in Brazil, it affects you, my friend. Nowadays, it does affect you as fast as a bullet, you know. So the DBN is flagging rising protectionism policies. That is basically countries putting up trade barriers, slapping tariff, you know, on each other. All those does affect you. It does affecting us. It does affecting us. So take United States, for example, okay? Has been imposing tariff left and right. So when a global trade slowed down, guess what? When the global trade slowed down, our export suffers. Our export suffers. So we mean we sell less beef, we sell less fish, fewer minerals. And when we sell less, what happened? Government revenue drop even further. We just draw it. We give you total picture. We hook you in. We hook you in. We want to know. We want you to know the bread and butter of our country. Okay, how does all this happening? So that you get involved in a discourse, so that you know what you can demand, so that you know what to hold accountable. And you also, as a policymakers, yeah? We are here for you. You know, sometimes we do this for you to understand where we're going. Yeah? Especially, and I will invite all our policymakers to read, to subscribe, really. Subscribe to the Villager. Seriously, and that's not a joke. You have to, because that's where you get all this, you know, economic, business, you know, financial, you know, really about a country's economy, the news. That's where you get it. Maybe you get it also to economists, you get it to, but, you know, subscribe. It's the only understanding, the only way you can lead us in the direction that with understanding, is to make sure that you're part of the show. Every morning, book your seat. From early morning scoop all the way, you know? All right. So now, if you add to that, now inflationary pressures from ongoing global conflict, you know, because, you know, those affect you as well. Think about wars disrupting supply chains, disrupting oil prices, and oil prices bouncing around, you know, and you have got a recipe of economic uncertainty. And that's where we are. And this is what DBN is warning us. That, we are on a tightrope. And we should be very, 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 very careful how we move forward. But here's my question also. How much control do we really? And I'm asking this as a layman, not someone who... There are economists there, and you know, who understand this better. How much control we really have over our own destiny? I'm kind of like, when I look at I just look at the global headwinds, you know, how we could be, the global shocks, how we could be affected by whatever happening outside this country could have enormous impact on our economy, on our livelihood, on a day-to-day basis. So we talk about the diamond. We just talked about the diamond. We just talked about, you know, all other factors that contribute to that. So then my question is, how much control do we really have over our own destiny? When we are this exposed to global shocks, I'm kind of like, do our leaders really have any control? And what can we do locally to protect ourselves? There's the concept of protectionism, you know? So how do we protect ourselves? Policies, maybe? How do we protect ourselves? We're talking also of Mother Nature, okay? And then there's Majani. We're talking about the global shocks, okay? But there's also Mother Nature, the weather. Yes, the weather. And the DBN mentioned increased rainfall as a risk. So now rain is good for farming, but too much rain, that means flooding. That means damage roads, damage bridges, damage homes. That means economic disruption. Where can we be? Climate change is not just, and for us now, it's not some distant threat anymore. For us here in Namibia, it's not some kind of like, it's something that we're hearing far away somewhere. No. It's here. It's unpredictable, and it costs money. It costs money, and money we already short on. This is money that we already short on. So, I don't want to sound okay. Okay, let's not be all gloom and all doom and gloom, all right? So, there are some positives here, okay? There are some positives. Our economic growth last year is 3.7. Not as fast as the year before, but still a growth. So, and importantly, it wasn't just one sector carrying us. Unfortunately, so we have manufacturing picking up. Well, construction at that time was also strong, and wholesales and retail trade grew because people were spending more. Now, why were people spending more? Of course, well, inflation came down, and it dropped from 5.9 to 4.2 to 4.2, and that means your money stretched a bit further at the grocery shop, or at the grocery store, at the petrol pump, you know? So now the Bank of Namibia also cut interest as well. You know, it cut interest rates several times, making loans cheaper. And so if you are paying off a mortgage or a car, you were feeling a bit of a relief. So, and the tertiary sectors, services like hotel, restaurants, and transport, they are also doing well. So tourism is bouncing back, and mineral exploration is bringing us some cash as well. So there are real tangible improvements as well. So it's not all doom and gloom. So, well, Tate Naluvande is here, and takomana ne kompe. Nishinengo tati kucha, menu ameme stopa, ilo pikila, ilo Otorongo nawa IT Tanaruvant. Ano toti nana ngai pesto komo na wompe.
IT wali toli ko minute dangene na todengwa ke
pangelo. Ayo kulira apa.
Yeah.
Tatongo
geta te mic.
Ayo siwa hewa.
Paranya lo shene no shimana tune.
Inim ni shira shanande. Otashi tinge byara kwet. Iro shina onda onda shira shina shana hombo.
Otakuti.
Eh.
Outa ah no da tondo ke va ka kuike ka kulu sa shogunon to akulando ta veron to tena sin na jene ne ombo
yeah
data diteka Ano atondoka ke vaka konga fita.
Yeah.
Ndi omboko dakara nale mangu Christina uya. Na fita ke no experience ayo hombo. Ene ke davo dongere ka yongere ko mme ko mwoke.
Yeah.
Na avo davo adiba nyenga iki.
Marunde marune ke ku yakomnu onga singongena toti ngaho toti kucha amendi singeno o ondokotola. O hala kucha ngeno ndoko yasho ndi ndokotoli nei verali ka.
Ae.
Eh.
Ku yakonmo kotoi.
Yeah.
Mara ngota kutongo hombo, kita kutongo iko ngereka. Ngereka kai na hombo.
Yeah.
Ashidulika, shoneche kwa kukwa kakuru, unpeke wa kula tutari.
Yeah.
O hombo ilipa adari, panso uruakaru.
Okay.
Shoshu wete ovo hae kutambula kucha yesu, no pendi ngoshi tenya, te kupe ulie, te kule keruye kwa ngereka, tavaya njuno na babo.
Yeah.
Ongene, nando udando hombo te iko loke shangoroki ya ngereki ya kalapo. Ngereka shayo tachikote.
Mana yo kwa hombo kukarapo? Osha dipende kucha o nayo kwa pumbo karapo shashi nae ova kuruno ven kufandeta ven para kongereka.
Ushu kucha, kata kutongo mbo, ito tale kumaru, tundo tale yono mepo.
Ya.
Yeah. Ishi tokongo kadono ufa makumbo konde to talika, upa mepoe, kwenta kwe. Ngereka hii hatali inima, yota ya mbeka shike, yote mkulombole kucha, shatruwa kumwe kukarunga. Kucha no shikale tashikele keta shaba menta, shike shatruwa kumwe kukarunga. Ye mwenjoko na hombo dateka, itashiti monsuru wakalu inakale hombo haditeka.
Yeah.
Nde odakara ngu haditeka pamara ndurafa. Teka dini korokosha. Ele ikota dea nina.
Yeah.
Ndo hombo yon menda. Mwa ikene na jamo fei nde mongola. Iru afadu kila pweke mo fei. Peshi mwa neke mo kristi.
So, oturipo ndo, opo ndiku dite shashi, ndiku wete kucho, peshi mwa neke mo kristi, shashi onkalo ulipo peife. Hasho. Shashi peife inatupiti kwa li tuombole pa mshuru wakalo. Genongo kucha, kucha to druga lino ya kongereka, ndeto, pa mshuru wakalo, ndisi kucho hatu landro mikalo do mshuru wakalo, pa hombo, punini mai hatu ningi hatu landro mshuru wakalo, de katu nalion kalo winya woku hombo la completely wa hombo leke pa mshuru wakalo na dino ya kongereka.
Fione na tate Mike.
Yeah.
Wanu venya kwa tuno na wanu. Ingereka ne maonga lwa mwitipo pisa dish.
Yeah.
Kanangeke kuhile mwandangwa, uditeta kaombo lwa pena dalike shio ombo.
Yeah, ayo pontiku udete.
Yeah, ushene kucha,
yeah.
Ombo ine dirilo. Unumafiko lifo kuhombo la, kilo kuhombo. Ashiningwa kwa dali. Isheketa kuru, chitadimo diku. Genge nene nini maimbo lio tuinu kapo, inatulimbi wange ombo tatiteke, inatipo pisa li nuhoku che ombo. Shashi, ombo pansu lwa karo.
Yeah.
O, upeno shoteka. Opene turoku mwe, popeno hombo. E turoku mwe, onuto hombora, wen dali.
No, indapo shote kamanga shote kwa sounding good.
Anwe ike mwe kufa, tanshake ni.
Yeah.
Tamuipu unona, sheri pepiti kilo tamudikeke muli, okota tename metavitele kele gifima.
Yeah.
Ndengenge ne tashia.
Oyo kesho hombo.
Aye.
Yeah.
Shote kamanga sheko watulomu mdimo kupa. Uliyo mashini nao.
Yeah. All right.
Itashiti kuchwa. Genge no hote kila moku poku paki shiyo emburi ya mweni mbo.
Apuli gini? Onga shingo dodo. Shipo psa ukwa iha tinga hori anu akwet. Hakucho dodo. Yalo. So, onga shingo ne mudi tatenaruma dati. So, shuemuro onga kidira posho. Stay tuned because what is coming is really, really very important. He will have some. Yeah.
Inudon fita na ya hombola ndeta pa kuruka joma punda wako ya nande kumiro ngona ndeta chota kadarifuno na wafa Yesu mituka boto hombo ndishi nengo
aye no
ta usho iti
yeah.
Hatu kukie kakuru ndemboli outa veron to tena
yeah. Aye ongashi ngoto shipopile figu nyatuti tatuti kucha mo institution atimu ita totapo edingone tatifana kucho ongereka Oya totwa pongone taifano ngereka padina, maro maraka maayo, hakuwanifa pongasha ngereka ngenino kuwanifa. So ono veneo intention ayavo hili de. Ya, ilo umwe, ke ini maimuwe tegera kucha anmava kave se staningi. Ya, kave se staningi, kave no wino yasha, okuchane nande ngeno vamo profet diaputu. Ilo pasta ngono shikishike. O wede kucha o puna mwekeve na omala lakanavo ha kuwanifa pongasho shina kuwanifa shongereka shino kukala ndero shikuwa tira komo wavo ya taiti shimwe opona pango handi tarakucha institution na donga di odaturu apongeno dine lalakano liwa mala hakwate liko meshovo institution na yo ina hakufiko lifo ike oshanta ya mwashi kipatele kwa mwa eshi takungo mwa wavo shina shano mwa watu wapo kwa institution ya
opo uye milonga
ya
ufukuro sili yoye
ya
utarikango wa fiko lifuwa
ya
poko fiko lifuwa uteku pende mwa mara lakano nangila shoshuwete narika kwa hakuni mwa ingombi
popemo kuleka chana ya
hakuni mwa ingombi shashika tulongo nawe ndonda ningwa shingombi yosho nandi nandi Tindu luku ni ngwe shingumbi ngao. Shingumbi ya shingumbi nita dime dimo. Uwe shuwilo we dimo.
Yeah.
Felendewe mwakara nae. Oete kukelele nungo dito kara nae. Kukele kini maimwe yukwa mepo. Imwe ilandula fanorezimo. Imwe pukululo kuchashita. Dudu luku shininga tulimo wango. Shashi ya tu shitime dimo letu.
Yeah.
Ene shingumbi ya kula. Yuhakala ome zimo loe. Peife shi watu ninge kingumbi. Neo mapata alanala watu akonga. Yolo nedi na kanu watu popi yolo. Opoka penari yombo peneke, owa kile ketifite ana ndungeta alimo malai.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fikuni mkua watu popi na ikulia ike mfuko kwa liya ilonge kitba haengo. Beke shati simo hango ndeta diriwa. Ini mesho yoi jemo yetu, ihatuta aleno shota shiveli foshimu.
Mm.
Chapu watu cheka ano, taa imo ne, otunacho mapuku lula hombo. Nda hitu lika uta ningo mapuku lula hombo, nae natango kulimo nchachara.
Yeah.
Hai dukana kwa mungu kupukululu. Sheshiki haya pondo dui angata kuchaye. Ovo otoka wili kongeleka hii. Ndi mwena ave nshino nkunda. Dukana kwa mungu kupukululu.
Mgotoshi. Owete. Mgotoshi tareko kongalo yonge no patuli peife.
Yeah.
Pe udeko nge onlu menu ndafika mapo. Owete ko. Ama iti pefi. Ngenga pefi mba tuputu kane. Keshe shimwe tolongwa. Oshokuku kulonge kita ukakale o msamane ukakale a father or a husband or something with the go kuchironga okulifa okulima okuninga keshe keshe toronga okukupreparinga nale
ove ukakale to preparinga batoketa
ya ove ukakale to preparinga wapi wanale o we know yotokapa kwinatango obotokadara with the go so somehow from a young age, we were prepared to be husband.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Kujano paironga, kujupa madiradiro, pako, pa insurance, you know. Mara peifenga ha. Oshi maasho, peifo taya kucha, you are prepared for a career.
Nikupeko shupene mwesha pita
pono. Weteko?
Sha, mewene na we ngombola.
Yeah.
Tuka anaka, iketeta, poke nanako. Aka kongeroko neilongo, sha yo kulande iko mashini.
Yeah.
Mbori muyo nangarano nakotaka nangarano neilonga ndetaki kyo nmo. Yeah. Keshi neo mepo yo mepata amono ho. Inakanyama, akanyama keme ndoha. Oka anako shitaka kaputu dbana tango taka ongo kemo social media. Kala ndiruweka ongo dikutaro TV.
Yeah.
Nenashu no nata ije mote kajamo wala kuyanje mbedi. Marunu kuchawe nbangai pimu unyuni. No mwa kwao kakeshi. Kamone kiki ni mayada.
Shosho kucha,
yeah.
Okuputuka. Ngoto putu da pankaro mikalo, onu aputu da pasho. Usi kucha ngengo toro mba mumbo kucha unsho na, osho mostly osho hambara hoka upaine na nishi. Ya. Sho mne peife, nga shitopo pikucho wape ongodi, kongo joko, oko toro mbo mikalo. You know? Shasho oko homono, o mikalo, oko hambara ho spend the time all the time. Weteko? So, ano nena o twende torombwa osike torombwa paife ongo osike tashirombwa runa na paife befimbweli o pepeta torombwa kucha o ini maimwene punangi ni maimweiwa you know popunangi ni maimwei taeta atukanifa ongushu yo yelongole tu lo pamshuru akalo ya shosho tasheta o mau kwa changasha toka popsa nena alright My dear listeners, let me say goodbye. I have taken up much of the time. I mean, actually, haven't taken up much of his time. It's during his time now we are talking. So let me say goodbye for now. And I'll see you tomorrow. Let's make time again at the same time tomorrow for unpacking the day from 8 o'clock to 10 o'clock. So from me, Michael Chiavelli, until tomorrow, it's a goodbye for now.
See you.